and the chewing locust. The years are coming back. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The word of the Lord reads like this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, listen, will what? Eat its what? Fruits. Glory to God. Where is death and life? It's in the power of the tongue. So if you want life, you got to speak life. Glory to God. In Job chapter 22, verse 28. And the word of the Lord reads like this: you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. So light will shine on your ways. We must declare, decree a thing, and it will be established. I'm ministering a message effectively. The series is called Operation Restore. Hallelujah. Today's message in our early service, listen to me, is entitled Restoration Declarations. Restoration what? Declarations. We've got to get the word that's in your mind and in your heart out of your mouth. We must start decreeing what the word says, so the things that God has intended for us will be established. A silent believer will always experience defeat. It is when you give sound to what you feel, when it becomes audible, the power of God starts working. Voices are basically vibrations that are coming over your vocal cords. The wind and the wind going over your vocal cords create vibrations, and that makes you have a unique sound. You don't talk to God by lifting up your head when he says hello. A lot of young men, that's what they think. They're listening to the thug. They're watching the rap boy. What's up? But see, when you get with God, God wants you to speak back. He wants his sons to say, when he say good morning, he wants you to say good morning, Lord. Or good morning, Holy Spirit. He wants you to talk back to him, not sass him, but to communicate and to confess his word. Now you create an atmosphere when you speak the word of God. And that atmosphere will rain blessings on you. Now everybody creates an atmosphere. I should pray, right? Everybody should create an atmosphere. But for some of us, if you say the wrong things, you will create a storm cloud above your head. And on your circumstance, will lightning and thundering will take place and rain on you adversity. You can change your atmosphere by speaking the word of God. And you won't have a storm that's hovering over your house. Glory to God. So we're going to preach and teach the word of God. Glory to God. Father, I give you praise and thanks for this message and for the prelude. And I give you praise for the anointing in the room, Father, for touching us and making us whole. Even now, I'm asking you to allow Merton to decrease and allow your spirit to increase. As you've blessed this ministry, I'm asking you to bless your people. Those that are going through struggles and trials and traumas, that they would come up out of the valley to the side of the slope of this new mountain and even experience the peak of the mountain. To not only experience the top, but to see from the perch of the mountain what you have in store for us. So from the north, the south, the east, and the west, thank you for new vision. Thank you for an expanse, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even our future can be seen through your word. 7 years from now, when the flames come, we will have faith enough to overcome it because of what you're teaching us today. I decree and declare life, peace, righteousness, joy in the Holy Ghost over your people. Thank you for that ear that's attentive, that mind that can comprehend, the heart that can receive, and the spirit that has no hemorrhaging. It can contain the word, and we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. From the abundance of the revelation, I want you to pray for me. Someone said it to me yesterday, Bishop, I hope that you never go astray in your faith. Amen. That you not become so pious or high in your movement that you are carried away, like some others have been carried away with a strange doctrine. I assured my partners that that is impossible if I stick with the word. Amen. And I want you to pray that I continue to walk with the word. I have never refused prayer from anybody in my life. I don't allow everybody to put their hands on my head. So get yourself together. Don't come talking about you, I told you to lay hands on my head and all of that. Because I don't let everybody put their hands on my head. And you need to be careful about who put their hands on your head. You can put your hand on my shoulder, but my head? Listen. And in our ministry, this is one of the things you should give your head, the mind, or someone to pray for, you should give that to your senior pastor. Amen. And so anybody just want, I want to lay hands on you, even with our ministry team, they're not going to do that like that. That's how we're trained to be. They're going to hold your hand and put their hand on your shoulder. And I would be the one to lay hands on heads, anointing with oil. Amen. A quorum of elders can pray for you. But individuals are not supposed to impart like that when you're in a church. You go to a church service, a prophet calls you out, that's between you and God. But within the framework of our church, we have order. And it has to be that way. Without it, there would be mass chaos. Amen. And so I've seen it all over. And that's why we have order here, so nobody gets hurt. There's all kinds of strange spirits. And they're surfacing like you wouldn't believe. I saw a lady dating an app last night. In other words, she has an AI avatar. And she's able to put it up. She goes to a restaurant and let the AI avatar speak to her. She buys the steak. He doesn't need one, though. Because he has no frame, he doesn't need food. And she's sitting across the table with her phone up, and she's talking to the AI avatar. Hi, how is your food? Well, it's pretty good. It's talking back to her like that. And this is where we're going as a people. I've been preaching here for years. Everybody wants to get all tight about what's going on. But the hour is so dark, and where we're going is going to get worse. The lady says she was a black female. I feel comfortable with him. I don't have to worry about nobody else or people trying to get over on me because I don't trust nobody. Let me tell you something. Your distrust is worse than anybody betraying you. Because now you've allowed an artificial intelligence to get into your psyche that's moving your emotions. He's moving. He cares about me. How can he care when he's not real? You have been caught up in a fog. So you forsake the real thing for the artificial. You've exchanged the gold for the brass. And this is a time in which we're living in. This is why the Lord told me, I can understand now, that after you cross over the year 2000, things will get darker. And I want you to stick with the word. Don't go after phenomenon. Because you would have people with itching ears wanting to move based on emotions, but it's not me driving them. My people will hear my voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. They're not going to follow an avatar. Follow something that makes them feel better. Follow something that always affirms. Artificial affirmation. When the word is alive and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the bone, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Yes. So the only thing that can really discern you is the word. Yes. No avatar, I don't care what they say, can really discern you. They can manipulate. M-A-N-I-P-U. Later, later, later. Manipulator. M-A-N-I-P-U. Later, later, later. The manipulator. The woman manipulator. The woman manipulator. The puppet master behind it is drawing people away from the word. And when we need to confess the word, God's way of getting things to you is not some artificial intelligence speaking to you what you've trained it to say through algorithms. But God says, I'll get something to you when you remind me or when you confess my word. Decree a thing and it shall be established. You must release my word and I'll create an atmosphere to release the productivity back to you. That's how God moves. You don't have to go to Google and say, tell me what I need to know. You need to go to the word to find out. Is there anybody here? Yes. Glory to God. And so the passage is powerful. I will restore the years, death and life on the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Job 22, verse 28. You will also decree, declare a thing, and it shall be established. Our confession of faith this morning. Come on, this is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. And ready to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Decree it. Decree it. You just share something. And for those that said, I'm not doing that, listen, you're still locked up in a time zone. I'm trying to train you how to get out of the prison of know-nothingness. If you want something spiritual, you got to start speaking. Now, when you get mad, you cuss. I'm telling you, before you get mad, decree. Yeah. You saying stuff, but you got to say it God's way. And let me tell you something else about God. God wants to work with your ability to communicate with him first, and then it will grow with people. Amen. And every year we should be better communicators. In a relationship, you have to communicate. If there is no communication, here come an AI, the modern day snake in the tree. So you're looking for the snake in the tree in Genesis chapter 3, but it doesn't look like that. It's artificial now, all curled up in your tree, in your family tree, speaking to you, whispering. This is what we need to understand. Mimicking God. Mimicking God when God wants us to be the leaders as it relates to that. He wants us to speak the end result. When Jesus sees the fig tree and wants fruit from it, the Bible says he looked at it and he spoke the end result. You shall not bring forth fruit any longer. Glory to God. And we need to learn from the principle of speaking the end result to a circumstance. Decree a thing and it shall be established. He didn't say, you don't have any fruit. And I'm just so tired of walking around you and you have nothing to offer. We know that's the truth. But he spoke the end result. You shall not bring forth fruit any longer. Whoa. The next day when they came by, the Bible says that the tree was dried up by the root. And God is trying to show us a principle that when you speak the end result by faith, you will see whatever, hallelujah, you decreed established. Remember, God wants you to speak his word. This is not your own desire. Like, I just desire that my boss die. Well, if you got that kind of mindset, God is not honoring that. You must speak his word according to his will, and it shall be established. Y'all understand? So what I'm trying to teach, even when we do confessions of faith over the word, is teaching you to get out. You didn't come here just to relax and hear me preach. I got the word. I'm about to give it to you. But he's trying to show you when you go home, start decreeing the end result. Glory to God. If you got an untidy house, I decree and declare that my house is going to become tidy because I'm going to get up and work. Untidy doesn't mean nasty. It just means out of place. It just means things are not in place. So you can rearrange it and get it in a place, but you should say it. Oh, I'm just so tired. Nobody want to work. Nobody. No, you want to say this house is coming into order. And when you do that, things start lining up. Speak the end result. Glory to God. When the doctor gives you a bad report, by the way, I had some blood work this last week. And man, the doctor said, Clark, man, your blood is doing well. You're eating right. You're doing something right. And you know, guess what? I said, thank you, Jesus. See, I decreed over my blood. You're coming in order. So I watch what goes into my mouth. Because what goes in your mouth affects your blood. I say what comes out of your mouth affects your life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. And just like a doctor can take a vial of blood and tell you what's going on in your circulatory, tell you what's going on in your digestive, tell you what's going on with your nerves, tell you what's happening in your bones, God says, I can take your words that's coming out of your mouth and I can see the leech in you. I can see the parasite in you, but I can also see the hope in you and I can see the grace in you. And if you start moving toward what I'm saying, I can heal your bloodline. So declaring the truth of God's word over your life is spiritually significant. Declaring God's word by faith, the truth of God's word over your life is spiritually significant. I believe that the practice of sharing or declaring God's word aligns you. It aligns you. It aligns your present state. It aligns your present state with the promise of God or his divine promise. By declaring the word, there's a divine alignment that's taking place with your present state. It aligns you with the present state that you're dealing with God's divine promise for your life. So let's just unpack that. If you fail to declare the word, there's a misalignment. You're out of alignment. And if a car doesn't have proper alignment, eventually you're going to wear your wheel out. So every 5,000 miles or so, you're supposed to rotate your wheels and check your alignment. Come on, ladies. I know you want the car, but you need somebody like Bishop to tell you to make sure you align the wheels. Because you just riding. You don't hear that squeaking? Every time you hit the brakes, you don't hear it? I'm just riding. No, when you buy it, you got to do maintenance. Oh, my God. Let me say it here. When you buy it, you got to do what? Maintenance. That means you got to check it out. That requires more than a payment. So even when you select the vehicle, you got to make sure you put in your budget, can you do the maintenance on the vehicle? So if you're spending $800 a month on your car payment, how much money did you spend, did you save for the maintenance? And the insurance. Because you can't expect nobody else to do it. Who's driving it? It's your car. You're the first to say, get out of my car. So why would you invite somebody else to take care of the maintenance? Since it's yours. You can't be 40 years old and want the privileges of being 40 and the authority of being 40, but you want to be 11 when it comes to responsibilities. In other words, somebody else got to take care of it versus me. No, if you got authority at 40, you have to take the responsibility that comes with 40. If I say I'm the pastor of a church, then I can't just say I'm the leader. I got to take the responsibility that comes with that. And when you give up on people, I got to stick with them. Because that's what he assigned me to do. This is where we are as a church and as a nation. And you got to understand, once you receive the mantle of something, you got to take the responsibility that comes with it. Not just the glamour that goes with it. And when you buy a car, you got to think about maintenance, tires. I had a pastor friend, God bless his soul, he passed away last year, or maybe the year before. And he had a nice vehicle. And when I saw it, he said, man, Bishop, look at my car. I said, man, that's beautiful, man. But I looked at the tires and they were bald. And I said, man, you got to get your tires. He said, what? I said, look at your tires. Look at your tires. So it's one thing to have a wonderful vehicle, but riding on bald tires? He said, man, I didn't even notice. I said, I'm concerned about you, man. Guess what? He didn't get new tires, got into a wreck and broke his hip. I get a call that he's in the hospital. The wife and I on a Sunday afternoon drove to Jacksonville, went to his hospital bed. When he woke up, I was standing there. And I didn't say anything about the bald tires. I asked him, was he okay? He said, man, it's hurting. Oh, my God. I mean, he broke his pelvis. We prayed with him and got on the highway and came all the way back home just like that. Never said a word. I'm only telling you so you'll understand the responsibility that I go through. I gave the instruction, but it wasn't listened to. Now, if I said, I'm not coming to the hospital because you didn't listen, everybody and their mama would say, he ain't a good bishop. Because I got a mandate on me that's different from you. You may say, I'm done. I can't say it. He put a mantle on me and a mandate that even when you don't follow instruction, I got to keep moving toward wholeness. Till death us do part. Oh my God. And I want you to get this because everybody want to be religious. But if you're really religious, you got to start saying what God say. And then when you get the understanding, you got to put it into practice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he was a good man. He eventually, when he got back on a walker, he worked out, man. He's got real robust and said, man, I'm walking again. And then all of a sudden, here comes a disease. And he died at 58. A pastor of a church, great preacher. This is what I'm trying to tell you. All of us are susceptible to something. I grieve over the man because even though he was not that much younger than me, I just believe God wanted me to encourage him. And I'm not the only one. He has a bishop, pastor, and all of that. We love all of that. But for some reason, I could just see him like prone to accidents. And you got to always check your alignment. And this is what declarations do. It helps us to align ourselves, our present state, with the will of God. You would know if you're aligned if you don't decree a thing. Just like you would know if your tires need to be balanced or you need an alignment until you take it to a place that can put it up on the rack and it will show you. God's divine promises are yea and amen. And when you confess the word of God or decree a thing, you activate faith. And that activation of your faith will literally shape your future.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Restoration Declarations, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
GriefShare provides helpful support and guidance to navigate the emotions of loss. The next session starts Tuesday, March 3rd at 6:30 p.m. at the TR Palm Bay campus. Use the TR app, website, or scan the QR code in the foyer to sign up. For more details, email griefshare@truthrevealed.org. Wednesday, February 25th, will mark the 14th bishopric anniversary of our beloved pastor, Merton Clark. Truth Nation, show the bishop some love online at truthrevealed.org or the Truth Reveal mobile app. Cash App is also available at Truth Revealed 2. Checks should be payable to Truth Revealed, and bishopric anniversary should be indicated on the memo line.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Some things can be challenging for us to understand.
So there's a train from Cleveland traveling 98 miles an hour and a truck from Tuscaloosa.
But knowing God personally, not so much. Billy Graham.
The wonderful things about the Bible are the simple things. Everybody can understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can understand that, that God loves you, that Christ died for you, that you're a sinner, that you've broken God's laws, and in order to know God, in order to be sure you're going to heaven, you must believe and trust in his Son.
Would you like to know God's Son, Jesus Christ? You can, and you can right now. Call 877-917-7729. Call anytime, 877-917-PRAY. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.